So really what the podcast awards do is it doesn't grow your listenership in like a significant way, but it does raise your credibility within the industry. And that leads to more opportunities to speak and to get your name out there.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcaster. It's your host, Adam Adams, and I'm stoked to have Maya Chupkov back on the podcast. The last time she was on the show was episode 267 about carving your niche and talked about how do you really niche down. And she's done some really remarkable things. If you, the listener, if you've ever thought to yourself, I want to get more listeners. If you've ever thought to yourself, I want to make more money from my podcast. I want to be able to have the monetization. You are in absolute luck because there's two really cool things that Maya has done since the last time we had a conversation 200 episodes ago-ish, right? And one of those things is she really exploded her listener base by getting an award. So we're going to talk about how do you apply for these awards? How do you get these awards? What do you need to do in order to get the award? Because it adds huge recognition for who you are and what your podcast does. And when she did it, she got a lot of listeners. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about how she made $35,000 through her podcast, basically in one day. We'll get into more details, but we're going to talk about how did she make that $35,000. Because you may be in a place where you're like, man, $35,000 would be really helpful right now. Well, how did she get it? We will go into growing your listeners through these awards, and we'll even talk about how she got that $35,000 on this episode with Maya Chupkov from Proud Stutter. So the link to Proud Stutter is down in the show notes. Maya's bio, you scroll down, that's down in the show notes. You're going to be able to also find 267. The episode that we already did about carving your niche down in the show notes. She's amazing. She's great. And she's got a lot of content there. I think you're going to be happy that you're on this episode with us today. So Maya, let's just jump right in. They can already listen to 267. 30% of them already did. 60, 70% of them are about to after this. So let's just jump in to this award that you got and how it grew your podcast. And I'll ask the questions that I think the listener is going to need to know so that they can do as much of this as possible on their own as well. So jump right in.
Yeah. So I have been submitting for awards ever since I started the podcast. And the first award I got nominated for, I think, was the biggest bump in listeners I ever got because I got nominated for an AMBY award. And so how I went about getting nominated for the AMBYs, which is one of the most prestigious podcast awards out there, is looking back, I really integrated myself into the podcast community. So I showed up at events like Podcast Movement. I went to as many like virtual meetings as possible with people in the industry. There's like free events happening all the time. And I also pitched a lot of newsletters to get into newsletters that a lot of the industry reads. And so that really helped because what I found out was a lot of people in the industry were actually on the panel that decided who would be nominated for an AMBY. So one of the like best kept secrets, I think, about getting nominated for an award or winning an award is really doing the stuff before and really integrating and making yourself a household name within the industry first.
When you say a household name within the industry, do you mean the industry that your podcast is in, or do you mean the podcast industry as a whole?
I mean the podcast industry. So folks that are writing about podcasts, folks who are doing workshops around podcasts, and people that are speakers at podcast conferences. Those are what I mean by really getting to know the industry and getting kind of mixing in with a lot of those folks.
Okay. Do you also intentionally try to become a speaker at podcast events?
Yes.
Is that part of it?
that's definitely a part of it, because the more that you're a speaker at podcast events, the more credibility you get. And then when people are reviewing these podcast awards, they'll think about, oh, I know this person, and they might psychologically like think more positively as they're listening through all of these different submissions. So I can't say for sure if that's what led to my nominations and awards, but I definitely know personally a lot of the people that ended up on the panel. So yeah, that's kind of like a tip that I learned in hindsight.
So tell me real quick, what is the AMBs? I tried to make some notes and spell it, but I don't know if I even would have spelled it right. What is the AMBs? And just a bit more information on how is it even spelled? What does it mean? And because you said it was one of the most prestigious places that we could be, and that a lot of these people that are speaking and hosting these conferences, they might be on the board or making the decision there. So tell us what that is, a little bit more detail.
Yeah. So the AMBIES, spelled AMBIES, it happens every year at Podcast Movement Evolutions. And every year, the Hollywood Reporter actually writes about all of the nominations. So it's kind of a big deal. And it's, they really market it as like the Academy Awards of podcasting. And so this year, it's going to be in Los Angeles. And so yeah, that was on my radar because I'm a member of the Podcast Academy, who I think, because I was a member in my first year, I was able to get a free submission to the AMBIES. And so that's kind of how I found out about it.
What does a free submission to the AMBIES mean? Free submission, does it mean that you're able to nominate yourself to win it? Does it mean that you're able to attend the AMBIE? What would a free submission mean?
Yeah. So unfortunately, a lot of these awards requires you to pay an entry fee to submit your work. So part of being a Podcast Academy member is during your first year, you get a free submission. So you can submit into one category for free. So that's how I was able to apply, because I can't afford to really pay a lot of these entry fees for awards. So I always try to work my way around by either asking for a scholarship, asking for one free entry, so that there's always ways to kind of get around that pay for play type of thing.
Got it. Got it. I've got so many questions for you. I'm loving this. It's good to know that there's an entry fee. A few years back, the award is behind me, but a podcast that I sold that podcast about 4 years ago. So a little over 4 years ago, somebody, not me, thought it would be a nice thing to do to nominate me for an award. So they nominated me. I don't know if it cost them money or not. They nominated me and then I won the award. And so I technically have, like you, but not as many as you probably, an award-winning podcast. I sold it, so it doesn't really matter anymore. But I could probably figure out how to do the same thing. And that's one of the things that I think we're talking about in this episode is like, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So going back to, I think I quoted you, and if it's just paraphrasing, then I apologize. But it says, I have been submitting for awards since I started. Now I want to understand, are these awards things that we nominate ourselves for or other people nominate us for? Like my buddy who nominated me for that one thing, or are some one way and some the other way, like we can't be the one to nominate ourselves for some types of awards, but we can on others? Because I got confused when you said how you got nominated for the AMBIES was, it sounded like that someone else did it. Mm-hmm. So can you help me understand the difference between I have been submitting for awards since I started and how I got nominated for the AMBIES is someone else nominated me, I think you said. Go into that.
Yeah. So most of the podcast industry awards, you as the podcaster have to submit your own work in order to have a chance to get nominated. So no one outside is nominating me. It's me submitting my episodes that I think would best be that best aligns with the award that I'm submitting for. There are other awards that people can nominate you for, like the one you had mentioned. I'm not as aware of those ones. What I'm really talking about is like industry awards, like the Webbies, the Ambies, the Signal Awards, the International Podcast Women's Awards. Like there's all these different industry awards. And so the first thing I really do when I'm thinking about what I'm going to submit for is if they have a scholarship or if there's any way I can get at least one free entry, because I don't have a budget to submit my work for a lot of these awards, because a lot of them are expensive. Like the Webby Awards, like over $300 to submit for just one category.
Okay, one category. I was just going to ask you how much they cost. The Ambies, how much would that be if you didn't get it for free? I think you said you're a member of the Academy.
Yeah, the Podcast Academy. Okay. Yeah, so the first year, I believe you get a free entry for one category.
And then I had to pay for it?
If you had to pay for it, I'm actually not sure.
Oh, what is there an idea in mind? Would it be in the hundreds? Would it be in the thousands?
It's probably in the couple hundreds.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
And then what's the Signal Award?
The Signal Award is a new award. So they actually only did their second year last year. And that's the one I won an award for. And so I entered, I forget exactly what category. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, most inspirational podcast. So that was an award that I submitted one of my episodes for, and I was able to get a free submission for that one as well.
If you had to pay, what would that have looked like?
I think it's like a few hundred dollars.
Okay. Okay, cool. So a few hundred-ish. All right, got another question for you. What would hold you back, or what would hold the listener back? If they wanted to like apply for one of these awards, what would keep them from winning it? Would it be like selection of the audio that they gave? Would it be bad recording quality? Would it be bad content? Would it be going into the wrong thing? Would it be not having these relationships? Just a few random things off the top of my head. What do you think would maybe be the top three reasons why we would waste our money? Why we would not win?
Yeah, I think the time put into your entry, and that time includes making sure you're reading all the guidelines and like what types of entries they're looking for, and also time to make sure you're picking the best category that you have the most chance in. So one would be time. And one example I have of that is, I think the only reason I was able to get nominated for an Ambie Award is because they had a new category called Best DIY Podcast. And that podcast category only allows episodes under $2,000 an episode of money spent producing that episode. So it's really meant for independents who have a very low budget. And so since that was the first year and not a lot of people knew about it, I think I was able to kind of squeeze in there that first year. So really spending time and reading through everything that's expected and spending time picking the right category and the right episode to submit.
Awesome. I've got another question for you. And it's just talking about the benefits, like the before and after results. Mm-hmm. Because we started out this podcast episode today. Yes, you did make $35,000 with your podcast. That might be one of the results, but we'll go into the details of how you did that a little bit later. But you can mention if that's one of the benefits from getting yourself on these platforms and putting yourself out there and either paying $300 or a couple hundred or a few hundred or getting them waived so that you can do more of them. I want to understand, though, for the listener's perspective, why would they want to do this? What did your podcast look like before, and what does it look like after? What are the good results from doing this?
Yes. So I come from the PR world, right? I come from the marketing world. That's kind of like how my brain has been trained to think about things. And so my goal was I just wanted to be able to say award-winning podcast because it's a really great marketing headline. And I think if you can say that, the more credibility your show has and the more people will pay attention to you, which will result in more listeners. And so that was my goal from day one, is I wanted to be able to say award-winning podcast. And so that's why my goal for like the first 2 years was just to submit as much as I can on a very tight budget and see what happens. And so what resulted in that is my listenership grew, because once I was nominated for an AMBY, a lot more people were paying attention to my show.
How did they find you? Like, okay, so you won this award, you were nominated at least, and then later you won. First you submitted, it goes like this, three steps. If in my head, this is how I'm hearing it. You submit, then you get nominated, and then you win. So for you getting into there, you mention that our listener, another podcaster would be able to do a similar thing by submitting, getting nominated, and winning. When do you see the listenership grow, and by how much could the listenership grow? What have you seen there?
Yeah, so it's been kind of a steady growth. Like, I didn't see it like all in one day, but what I have been hearing is people like just randomly, like if I'm in like an industry session, or I don't know, I'm in the podcasting space, like, you know, it's like a workshop, or like I'm attending an event and I say, hey, like, this is Maya from Proud Stutter, and the chat, a lot of people recognize Proud Stutter within the industry. So it's not really something that I can quantify, like, but I have noticed that I'm getting more and more people just recognizing my show in different spaces. And so really what the podcast awards do is it doesn't really like grow your listenership in like a significant way, but it does raise your credibility within the industry. And that leads to more opportunities to speak and to get your name out there. And so it's not black and white, but it's something that one of my goals is to like be well known in the industry. That might not be everyone's goals, but it's definitely something that is really important to me as an independent podcaster.
Yeah. I will say, you know, the award-winning podcast, I'm giving air quotes. Technically, it did win an award, but I don't know how my friend got it. I don't know the details of it. But my award-winning podcast that I sold 4 or 5 years ago, it did so much for me. But it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't like quantifiable. It wasn't like overnight success. It was a lot of different things that I did, a lot of different things that I tried, the way that I did them, and for the length of time that I did them. I've got one tattoo, but there's a couple parts to it. And it basically says that there's a symbol that says persistence, there's a symbol that says determination, and there's a symbol that means omnipotence or endless potential. And to me, that means if we put in lots and lots of effort and we never, ever quit, we will win. We will win the game. There's too many people that try one thing and they try it for a short amount of time and it doesn't work. And so they quit and they give up and they throw their hands up in the air. They're like mad at the world because this shit doesn't work, right? This crap isn't working. I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my effort. But all of those efforts and trials and attempts and trying it a different way in a new way, they compound over time. I'm seeing this pattern with your goals, like where you said, hey, from the beginning, you know, 2 years of nominating yourself, for example, or submitting for the nominations, I guess is the better way to say that. Submitting for the nomination so that you could get nominated and connecting with the right people and being part of the organizations and adding value in the groups got you to the result that you were looking for. Not just one thing that you ever tried got you all of the stuff. And same thing with me. Back in the day when I had a real estate investing podcast. I've been real estate investing since 2005. So we're about at 20 years of investing now. I had this podcast that ended up getting me the value, but I couldn't say what it was that got me the exact value. I think it's a combination of a couple of things. And this is super beneficial for our listener right now. For one example, in that industry of real estate investing, I was intentional to get some of the other well-known people. Well, actually, I wasn't in the beginning well-known at all, but I ended up being very well-known in that industry where I could go to any conference and every single person or 80% of the people would know my name, front, first name, last name. It's not hard. They're the same. Even still, they would know who I was. And it came kind of like you're saying, persistence, determination equal omnipotence. I would interview, I would go and reach out to somebody who is much more well-known than me to be a guest on my show. And then I would go and interview somebody else who was well-known to be a guest on my show. We would find a way to have a conversation of what I did and how I did it. And they would perhaps bring me on their show. I would do everything that I could when I was on their show to add a lot of value to the listener of their podcast and to them as the host in real estate. And I do that now with podcasting. Going back, I would add the most amount of value that I could, and then they would bring me to their conference to speak at their conference. And then I hosted my own conferences where I'd have hundreds of people there, and I would invite them to speak. And as we grew together, as we just organically did a little bit more, we sat down for dinner. I got to sit down with some of the biggest people in real estate and some of the biggest authors that have written books that sold millions of copies. Hal Elrod became a friend of mine. I got his cell phone number and he sold millions of copies. The only way I did this was to just keep persistence and determination in order to get the endless potential. The thing that I'm seeing with you is not the identical path, not the identical efforts, but it's endless potential for what you're doing. You keep continuing, you keep going, you keep trying, you keep learning, you keep connecting, you keep adding value, you keep submitting, even mm-hmm. when you fail and you fail again. And most people would be like, shit, I failed 3 times. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yep.
But after 2 years, you were like, well, how can I? Well, how can I? I read this book and I'm not trying to be the one who's speaking too much, Maya. I want you to speak too. I read this book. It was a simple book. A lot of people know it. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. In the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the author, Robert Kiyosaki, he says a difference between the successful people and the unsuccessful people. The unsuccessful people say, I can't. The successful people say, how can I? In what way could I do this? They get knocked down. And when they get back up, they try it a different way. What's the guy who created the light bulb? Einstein? No, not Einstein. What's the guy who invented the light bulb? I can't think of it.
Oh my God.
Edison.
Yeah. Yes.
Thomas Edison. So the guy who invented the light bulb is the most inspirational of this idea that I can think of. Because he said, I think that the quote goes something like this. I haven't failed 10,000 times. Even though he literally believes that he tried and it didn't work 10,000 different ways, more than 2 years. I'm proud of you for doing 2 years. And I'm thinking about him and he kept going even at years and years and years. 10,000 tries that most of us would have said, you've tried this 6 times, give up, man. But he kept figuring out how to keep that bulb. Mm-hmm. Then he made that bulb. And now you are using a light bulb right now. I'm using a light bulb right now because this guy failed 10,000 times, quote, didn't fail, but tried 10,000 times and still gave the 10,001st attempt as well. And it eventually worked. And I think that's inspirational, persistence, determination, endless potential. I want to talk about how you made $35,000 on your podcast. Is there anything else that a takeaway for this strategy of getting nominated that grew your podcast to where it is now that you should say before we talk about making $35,000?
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said. And I do think the reason Proud Stutter has been so successful is because of the persistence and determination and like just being consistent. But at the same time, it's like I'm balancing a full-time job and burnout is very real. And so I really have to like adjust every year of like how I'm going to not burn out and how I'm going to still want to accomplish all the things I want to accomplish, but to do it in a way where I still stay like mentally healthy. And so that's why awards and conferences was kind of like two of the things that I really wanted to focus on. And now that I've kind of accomplished a lot of the things I wanted to through that, now I'm kind of I'm shifting away from that and focusing on other things. So what I want to say is that you don't have to do everything all at once. You can kind of segment it so you're not feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah. Good message. Let's do a quick break. Let's do a very short break. And when we get back, I want to talk about how you got a grant and you were able to make 35 grand. How did you do it? What did you put the money to? We'll be right back.
Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show.
We're back with Maya Chupkov, who already talked to us about how you can get nominated, how you can get submitted, how much it costs, what some of the benefits are, and how do you end up winning these. A lot of really cool tips and tricks. And now we're talking about how she was able to monetize her podcast. Because I've talked about ways of monetizing a podcast, but I've never really talked about getting a grant as a way to monetize a podcast. And it seems pretty cool. She made 35 grand, and I'm curious, how did she get it and what does she do with the money? So Maya, let's go into getting grants. Like, what did you think about? What did you consider? Was it difficult? Where did you go? And if we've got a listener that's not in your exact industry, share it with them in a way that might be beneficial to them. So regardless of what they're doing, they might be able to find a way for them to make money with a grant.
Yeah. So my grant was pretty unique. So I'm going to separate what I have to kind of say in two buckets. So the first bucket is grants for podcasts like mine, which are mission driven and are nonprofits. I do want to say that it is easier for nonprofit podcasts to get grants than others because they are tax deductible. However, there are a lot of resources for podcasts that aren't nonprofit too. So I'm going to start there. So there are two newsletters that I think everyone should sign up for that have opportunities where it involves getting grants, fellowships, like all these paid opportunities. And so the first newsletter is called All Here. And so that's a Substack newsletter that has like a million opportunities.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you. Did you say All Here or did I?
Yeah, like All Here. A-L-L-H-E-A-R. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
not H-E-R-E.
H-E-A-R.
Okay. All Here. Okay. Thank you. And the second one?
And then there's another newsletter called Grants for Creatives.
Okay. And to be clear, what we're talking about here, there's two buckets. There's the mission-driven, not-for-profit bucket. And then there's the other bucket for other podcasters that might make money, like my podcast, for example, that where I have a product, I can help other podcasters and I'm getting in front of them by supporting them and giving them value. And a couple of them might call me. And so then I would fit in bucket number two. And you mentioned that you're starting with bucket number two. And there's two newsletters that we should follow if we are number two, a for-profit organization, for example, and we want to be able to find the best way to get this grant money. And they are newsletters we could subscribe to, we could find them. And I'll try to get my team to make sure that they're both, the links to these two things are found in the show notes below. So a great resource for our listener right now could just scroll down right now and click on All Here or click on Grants for Creatives. And I know I've interrupted you a couple of times and I want you to be able to finish, but I want to make sure I'm at least understanding where we are and that my team is going to put those links also in the show notes. So keep going, Maya.
All right. So now I'm going to go to the nonprofits bucket and kind of lay out how I got my $35,000 grant. So after I completed season one of Proud Stutter, I was thinking about, okay, like what's next? Because I didn't really have a plan beyond season one. I kind of just wanted to test it out. And then I realized like, I actually want to keep doing this for as long as I can. So I started thinking about what would it look like for Proud Stutter to be able to apply for grants? And so that's when I started just Googling, researching. I found out about what's called a fiscal sponsorship. And basically what that means is there are a ton of fiscal sponsors out there that are willing to bring different entities or projects in as partners. And instead of converting to a 501c3, which takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, there's a fiscal sponsorship where you can use the fiscal sponsor to apply for grants. And then they do all like the overhead and admin stuff. So I applied for a fiscal sponsorship through Independent Arts and Media, which is a local San Francisco-based fiscal sponsor that sponsors a whole range of art projects, including podcasts and other things. And so that was kind of my way of not becoming a 501c3, but still being able to apply for grants. And so I get newsletters from my fiscal sponsor like every month with a whole bunch of grant opportunities. And they also have coaches that you can get coaching on how to write grants. And I get 6 hours for free for each coach. And so I actually work with a grant coach to apply to like 6 different grants. And the one I ended up getting, it took me a month to write the grant application. So this is like a lot of time and work. And it's not.
Can I interrupt you real quick? I'm hearing it took a ton of time and work. I'm hearing that it took a month just to write the submission, just to write the, what's the term for it? Write the
grant proposal.
Proposal. So out of curiosity, a month to do the grant proposal. I'm kind of hoping that you weren't working 12 hours a day, 30 days out of the month. Maybe you were working a few minutes or a few hours at a time over a month.
Was it probably like
8 hours a day all the time, or?
It was probably like, I would say like four full days, like over the weekend. So like a Saturday, Sunday, 2 weekends in a row, and then like 5 to 10 hours a week.
Okay. So it's not terrible.
No.
So, cause I'm thinking through it. Like when you say it took an entire month, my brain, it takes it so literally. It's like, no. You didn't sleep, you didn't eat, you didn't work, you didn't go to school, you didn't do your job, you didn't do your podcast for that month, you couldn't do anything. But it sounds like with 10-ish hours a week, this is a pretty good, easy side hustle, and it ended up getting you 35K. Go into a little bit more detail on how you ended up getting the 35K, what did they say it was for, and did they give you a lump sum, or is it like $3,000 a month for a year, or how does it work with getting that 35K? And yeah, just a little bit more detail for the listener.
Yeah. So how it works with the grant I got, which is called the California Documentary Projects Grant. And so they give me $30,000 up front. And then once the documentary is done, they give me, or once I've submitted like 75% of the work, then I can get the other 5K. So
you say you have to make a documentary for this one, we could apply for any sort of thing and they're not all going to be a documentary. But in this case, it's creating a documentary. And is it going to cost a whole bunch of money? Like out of that $35,000, is all of the $35,000 going toward making the documentary, or do you get to make money? Do you get to earn money on your own? I'm curious.
Yeah. So this particular grant I got, I sent in an application to create a audio documentary on Californians Who Stutter, which is going to be like season 3 of the show. And so that money has to go into the documentary. And another requirement is I have to match the 35K I got through other means. So whether it's through another grant or funds from a crowdfunding campaign or donations. So each grant has different requirements. And usually within the nonprofit space, there's what's called a project grant. So you have to spend it on a specific project. And then there's general operating, which you can spend on anything. Like you can hire someone, you can spend it on, but it has to be something related to the podcast. So this isn't really like money that you can spend on like a new car or something.
Yeah. You can't just go and buy a Porsche tomorrow with the 35K. But I like that third one quite a bit. If the money has to be put into the podcast in some way, I think of one of the ways that we could do it is to put more fuel to the fire, or put more fuel to the tank. I've said on the podcast before, our podcast itself is a vehicle. Success in business or whatever, success somehow, is our destination. And the thing that we need to do to get the vehicle to the destination is add gasoline, add fuel into the tank. We're not going to go very far without it. And so, for example, if we could use that fuel to offload the cost of production, if we could use that fuel to market and get in front of even more people, these are things that allow us to put our time and attention on other pieces, other things, other ways, connecting with people. If we don't have to, for example, some of us edit our own. If we don't have to edit our own anymore because we got a grant, like that third option, I think, that you mentioned, that money could go toward the editor, hiring mm-hmm. somebody or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or if we were able to put that money, for example, to marketing, like Facebook ads or something, in order to get more exposure for the podcast, these things benefit us. If we have another person on the team, it frees up our time so that we can network and connect. Going back to the beginning of today's episode, when you shared your persistent determination and endless potential, where you were joining different groups, where you were applying for different things. Well, now if we could take that money, we could use it to apply. We could take that money, we could use it to pay somebody to do some of the hard parts of our podcast so that we can do more of the networking. Or if we can do marketing, Facebook ads or whatever, then we can grow our audience. And we benefit, even if we don't get to buy a Ferrari or a Porsche or something. Cool stuff. Any other takeaways that you'd like to share with the listener?
No, I don't think I have anything else to share.
Amazing. Maya, thank you for coming back to the podcast. It's fun to be able to hear the first episode that you did with us. And I'm scrolling up. It was 267 about carving a niche. And grateful that you were able to share with our listener today of, A, how can they gain more listeners and gain more awareness in their space by applying for awards? What I love about that is applying for the awards can benefit us. We could apply for awards with our company, and we could apply for it with our business, and we could apply for it in other ways too. It doesn't only relate to the podcast, but it does relate to the podcast. And you were able to see your credibility go up. So me as a podcast coach, that's a benefit to me. If I did it and my credibility goes up within all the whole podcasting industry, it benefits me a lot. And we could be doing that in other businesses as well. And you've done it for your podcast, Proud Stutter. Additionally, you talked to us about where to go for grants, regardless of if we are a nonprofit or a not-for-profit, or if we are a for-profit organization. You shared with us the newsletters that we might be able to go to. For example, All Here and Grants for Creatives, that these links hopefully are in the show notes right now. And on your end, you found a fiscal sponsor and they send you basically a newsletter, basically, and it shows you all the things that are available. And you looked at one, you said, oh, that would be fun, or that would be perfect, or that looks like something I can get behind. That looks like something could benefit me. And you applied and you got it. And a takeaway of this is you asked yourself, what would it look like if I did that? I quoted you, what would it look like if I did that, right? So you focus on the success that you want. You say, okay, now if I imagine this success, what does that look like? And that you're kind of reverse engineering it and going backwards. And then we talk about the fiscal sponsor and how you were able to get those and how you did all of this with a not-for-profit without even being a 501c3, which is a nonprofit organization, because you applied through San Francisco. You talked about how it took you a month, not the whole like time, but 10 hours a week, a couple of weekends in order to be able to apply for that. And that they gave you 30 grand up front and they'll give you the other 5 grand after, and how we could implement that as if we were looking for the same thing. Appreciate you jumping on, Maya. And to our listener, go and check her out. Go and check out her podcast. She's doing big things with it. And additionally, the next episode is a solo episode. It's going to be a little shorter than this one. This one's 50 minutes or an hour. And the next one's going to be like 5 minutes or 15 minutes. I will see you there. Don't go anywhere. You've got time. Let me add some more value to you. See you in a second.
You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this and I feel horrible because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first 6 episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.